The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
In this episode, we are going to talk about all those cool gadgets and wearables that we like to talk about a lot in safety. We're going to talk about something that doesn't get mentioned very often, and that is what powers all of these devices and are they safe? Yeah, we're going to talk about battery safety in this episode of the Safety Pro Podcast. All right, everybody, before we get into today's topic, I want to remind everybody, if your business is reopening after any kind of closure due to COVID, or you've continued to remain open, but you're struggling with how to mark your facilities to ensure physical distancing and relay important information about safety and health as it relates to COVID, I want you to go visit our friends over at Mighty Line Floor Tape. Mighty Line has some great products for you to mark your floors, whether it be the stand here, the 6 feet distancing, or just floor tape to denote lanes of travel. They have everything you need to mark your facility. So hit the link in the show notes, visit our friends at Mighty Line Floor Tape. They are incredible partners in safety. I can't thank them enough for their support of the podcast. Again, Mighty Line Tape for all of your floor marking needs. All right, as mentioned, we're going to talk about how we can prevent, you know, fires and explosions or even just injuries from small and wearable lithium battery powered devices. You know, your smartwatch, your phone, there's little cameras, radios, all these cool things, this emerging technology that we talk about, they all have to be powered in some way, shape, or form. So we talk about, oh, wow, wouldn't it be cool if we had a smart hard hat? Yes, it would be very cool. I'm a total geek. I'm with you 110%. How are you going to power it? What environment can I, you know, put that in? I mean, can you imagine just having that on the top of somebody's head in the sun at a construction site in 100-degree temperatures? That could be a problem. So we're going to talk about what OSHA has to say, what some consumer protection agencies have to say, and get into this topic. Now, we know that all these devices that we use rely on a power source, and they will store oftentimes a very high amount of energy in a very dense cell or small space, right? A high energy density is what these are called. Lithium cells, they provide sustained power, and they often have the capability to be recharged. So there's another wrinkle we're adding to some of these batteries. Some of them are disposable, they're spent and you get rid of them. Others, you actually are able to recharge them. So there's other associated equipment or gear or considerations when recharging. Now, when designed, manufactured, and used properly, lithium batteries are fairly safe. You know, high energy density power sources are great for devices in the workplace under normal conditions. And while lithium batteries are normally safe, they may cause injury if they have some sort of design defect, for example. They're made of low quality materials. You know, you're getting them from sources that you're not, you know, particularly sure what kind of quality control measures they have in place. Maybe they're assembled incorrectly or are used or recharged improperly. You have incompatible charging equipment with the matching the battery or cell. Or you could just damage them. You know, you think about dropping your cell phone. We are so concerned about the screen being cracked. Well, if it was a strong enough impact to crack your screen, maybe the cell is compromised. Maybe the battery cell is compromised. You just don't know it, right? And then it's, you know, a week later, you're at home sleeping and the thing catches fire when you're charging it. So there's all kinds of stuff that could be associated with why batteries, these power cells, fail. It's been a couple of years now, but in February 2018, the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission's Status Report on High Energy Density Batteries Project, they reported over 25,000 overheating or fire incidents involving more than 400 types of lithium battery-powered consumer products that occurred over a five-year period. That's a lot. Many consumer products have practical applications in small and large businesses, of course, and ensuring these products will operate safely in the workplace begins with using batteries, chargers, and related equipment that are tested and in accordance with an appropriate test standard, UL standard, right? And where applicable, they will be certified by a nationally recognized testing laboratory, or NRTL. So you should be able to find these markings somewhere on the device, and they would be appropriate. I've seen even surge protectors, something as simple as surge protectors, getting away from batteries for a second, but surge protectors for a while were being bought and used in workplaces and overheating and catching fire, and you know, turn it over and there's not even a UL hologram or stamp or marking on it at all. It literally was just assembled and sold. You know, you've got to be careful. You have to look for those markings. Another thing to consider, manufacturer's instructions. You know, they're going to provide procedures for use, charging, and maintenance that is very specific to each device and is necessary to prevent damage to the lithium batteries. Yeah, I know. You've got to read instructions sometimes. Here's an example. Some batteries can be overcharged if a charger is used that does not turn off when the battery is fully charged, or a charger that is putting a different type of current amount to the battery than what it was designed to handle at any one time. So just because one charger fits with a device, plugs into a device, doesn't mean that that should go with that device. You should keep your equipment compatible, right? Workers who wear or frequently handle lithium-powered devices or batteries are particularly at risk of if a lithium battery catches fire or even explodes, since the device or battery is close to the body, things being in your pocket or on your wrist or against your chest, some clip-on type sensors and devices. So those are all important things to consider when you're walking around carrying these things. Has it been damaged? What temperature range is safe to operate these devices in? Am I exceeding that, going below or too high? And then, of course, dusty environments. Is the device intrinsically safe to prevent, you know, explosion in the environment, not just the battery itself, but there are all kinds of things you want to consider when you start introducing technology into the work environment. For example, small cameras worn by workers, you know, police, security personnel, they all have these body cams that they wear. They can cause burns and other serious injury if the lithium battery catches fire or explodes while you're wearing it. So to prevent injury, it's important for employers and workers to understand a lithium-powered device's basic function, hazards, and safe use, which also includes what I just mentioned, safe operating conditions, the environment that you can and shouldn't take this stuff into. Now, lithium batteries, you know, folks don't really understand how these batteries work. I know that if you fly regularly, even infrequently, you know that they'll ask you when they're putting a bag under the plane, hey, is there any lithium battery in here? There is a reason why, because the storage cargo under the aircraft at certain altitudes, right, you're going to get to a certain temperature. It's not temperature controlled. It's not pressurized. So those cells can explode and cause some serious damage. So how do lithium batteries really work? Now, the term lithium battery refers to one or more lithium cells that are electrically connected together in a series. Like all batteries, lithium battery cells contain a positive electrode, a negative electrode, a separator, and an electrolyte solution. Now, atoms, or molecules with a net electric charge, right, like ions,
they are transferred from a positive electrode to a negative electrode through that electrolyte solution. Lithium cells store and release power by converting chemical potential energy into electrical energy using lithium ions or lithium metal. Electrolyte solutions allow ions to flow freely between the electrodes. Lithium ion batteries use lithium in ionic form instead of lithium in solid metallic form. They also are usually rechargeable, okay, often without the need to remove them from the device. Lithium ion batteries power devices like mobile phones, laptops, tablets, cameras, power tools, those things. Lithium metal batteries, they're generally non-rechargeable and have lithium metal electrodes. And the lithium metal batteries are generally used to power devices like watches, calculators, temperature data loggers, car key fobs, the whole key fob to your car, flashlights, defibrillators, those types of things. Now, you know, we want to get into what types of hazards you could be looking at here. Now, lithium batteries are generally safe and unlikely to fail, but only so long as there are no defects and the batteries aren't damaged. When lithium batteries fail to operate safely or become damaged, they may present a fire or explosion hazard. And damage from improper use, storage, or charging can also cause lithium batteries to fail. Now, you can test batteries and chargers and any other equipment in accordance with an appropriate test standard, if that's applicable. So a lot of commercial equipment will have test standards, you know, written in the instruction manual or the opportunity for you to send that device out to be tested. Defibrillators are a good example. Those batteries have to be replaced, so they self-monitor, and you can set up on a schedule to be able to swap those out so that they can, you know, remain safe, not just be able to issue a shock to a patient when you need to, but also there are health monitors in some of this equipment that will tell you, hey, you know, the battery is compromised, and it'll send you, it'll chirp or send you an alert. It needs to be replaced for some reason. So there are different ways to ensure the safety of a battery. So you always should follow the manufacturer's recommendations. Also, keep up on product recalls. I keep mentioning defibrillators because, you know, we've all, you know, any of us have been in the business for a few years, we've been through how many recalls of defibrillators, and companies are bought and rebought and sold. And, you know, there are a number of models of defibrillators that we've all, you know, just stayed away from because they're notorious for recalls. It's pretty bad, actually. So product recalls, make sure you register your product so that the manufacturer has a record of you purchasing that piece of equipment, and that can maybe contact you in the event that there is a defect or something gets reported to them and they have to issue a recall. So make sure that you take advantage of any kind of registration card or online registration of your product or device. And damage to lithium batteries can occur immediately, like from an impact or over a period of time, maybe being exposed to extreme heat or cold, or just from overuse or improper charging over time. Also, you have to consider external heat sources, not just ambient temperature in the environment, but also setting something on a heater or near a, you know, a vent or something like that can introduce some problems when you're not really thinking about the ambient temperature being too bad, but where you're placing it, storing it, or charging it could be a problem. And keep in mind, charging in temperatures below freezing can lead to permanent metallic lithium buildup or plating on the anode. It increases the risk of failure. So freezing temperatures can be bad, you know. And then on job sites, I used to see this a lot, that you would have somebody out, it's freezing outside, and they've got their charger setting out on the ground, on the dirt, and they've got batteries plugged into it. So it could be a problem in some work environments. So you want to keep in mind, you know, to check on those types of situations as well. Also, heat released during cell failure can damage nearby cells, releasing more heat in a chain reaction known as thermal runaway. You may have heard that phrase before, but the high energy density in lithium batteries, it makes them more susceptible to these types of reactions, right? So depending on the battery chemistry, the size, design, you know, the component types, as well as the amount of energy that's stored in the lithium cell failures can result in chemical and or combustion reactions, which can also result in heat release and or overpressurization, which is, well, we would call that an explosion. But that sudden release of heat and energy is going to be bad in some environments, not to mention if it's in your pocket or on your person. So in chemical reactions, byproducts from the electrolyte solution and the electrodes can release the pressure in the cell to the point where the cell walls expand and byproducts leak out. Chemical byproducts usually include carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide, hydrogen, and hydrocarbons. And in many cases, the byproducts are also combustible and could ignite. In combustion reactions, a thermal runaway releases byproducts that may ignite that cause smoke, heat, fire, and/or explosion. The byproducts from a lithium battery combustion reaction are usually carbon dioxide and water vapor. In some lithium batteries, though, combustion can separate fluorine from lithium salts in the battery, and if mixed with water or water vapors, fluorine may produce, anybody take chemistry? Hydrofluoric acid, right? Which is particularly hazardous because workers may not feel its effects until hours after skin exposure. So that's why touching some of those leaking, you know, wet batteries is probably not a good idea. Look, workplace injuries from lithium battery defects or damage, they are preventable. And we'll go over some guidelines that will help in incorporating lithium battery safety into your safety and health program. Ensure lithium batteries, chargers, and associated equipment are tested and in accordance to the manufacturer's recommendation and, where applicable, certified by a nationally recognized testing laboratory and are rated for their intended uses. And what that means, rated for their intended uses. So I see this with surge protectors all the time in a, like on a factory floor. You don't want to buy from Staples, your company account with Staples, a bunch of office surge protectors, put them out on a greasy, dirty, or factory floor to plug in the monitor and terminal you're using out there. You want one that's rated for industrial use. So you want to make sure you get one that's actually rated for that intended use. That's what that statement means. Follow manufacturer's instructions for storage, use, charging, and maintenance. And when replacing batteries and chargers for any electronic device, ensure they are specifically designed and approved for use with the device and they are purchased from the device's manufacturer or a manufacturer-authorized reseller. Remove lithium-powered devices and batteries from the charger once they're fully charged. Store lithium batteries and devices in a dry, cool location. Avoid damaging lithium batteries and devices. Inspect them for signs of damage like bulging, cracking, hissing, leaking. Those are all, you know, obvious signs. If it's smoking, that should be obvious as well. You'd be surprised what people will, you know, still use in some of their tools and equipment. Immediately remove a device or battery from service. Place it in an area away from flammable materials if any of those signs are present, but you want to make sure that you have a way for employees to properly separate these damaged, potentially damaged devices from other areas of the workplace. So you're probably going to want to set up a special area just for, you know, potentially damaged batteries. You know, we do that with compressed gas cylinders that are empty, right? And segregate those. You want to make sure you do the same in this case. If batteries are damaged, visibly damaged, and you remove them from service, you're going to want to place them in a fire-resistant container like a metal drum with sand or other extinguishing agent. Dispose of them in accordance with local, state, federal regulations. Some manufacturers will recycle these and take those off your hands, but you basically want to contact any kind of local battery recycling center for disposal instructions. Those are examples of being able to set up a place for workers to put these things in a safe manner. Follow manufacturer's guidance on how to extinguish small battery fires, which could include using an ABC dry chem extinguisher or a class D for lithium metal. Now, training, some of this stuff might seem obvious. I mean, you know, cell phones and some devices, you may just take for granted people know how to use them properly. But training, and we're talking about introducing these things into the workplace and expecting employees to use them, ensure that workers who do use or handle lithium-powered devices, you know, cells or batteries in the workplace, that they receive training associated with these products. Make sure that you include training on how to verify any certification for batteries, you know, look for that marking, chargers and any associated equipment, identify defective, damaged, or failing lithium-powered devices and batteries, how to remove defective devices and batteries from the workplace, and quickly remove a lithium-powered device from clothing if it feels hot or if the device begins to leak or release gas or starts hissing, bulging, or, of course, is on fire. So you're going to want to make sure you cover how to deal with some of those scenarios, no matter how unlikely they may be. You want to cover that in your training. Ensure that an emergency action plan for the workplace that has lithium-powered devices or batteries includes lithium-related incident response, all those procedures based on manufacturer's instructions for responding to battery failures, including fires and explosions. Something a lot of, you know, EAP, emergency action plans probably overlook. Ensure that appropriate information about the hazards of lithium-powered devices and lithium batteries is communicated to exposed workers. For example, during repair of lithium-powered devices or during recycling activities, and that workers receive training on the physical and health hazards associated with lithium-ion and/or lithium metal cells or batteries. So if you get into any kind of repair shop or you have a big storage area where these leaking ones are you know, stored, but you have employees package these up, you know, you're going to have to cover appropriate PPE and training on what to look for as far as signs and symptoms of, you know, exposure to those types of chemicals. All right. So I'll have some resources in the show notes that you can hit on to get more information about this topic. But, you know, we spend a lot of time. I've spent, I don't know, maybe 3 episodes talking about, you know, connected devices and wearables and all this tech that's really, really cool in the workplace. I also wanted to kind of bookend it with, you know, the safety piece that, you know, we're all aware of, but maybe the average worker doesn't really consider, you know, some of, you know, the work environment, and they've got that, you know, that brand new iPhone or Android phone in their pocket, and, you know, the conditions they're subjecting that device to, and all the way to handing tablets to our production managers or construction superintendents that have to use these, and we require them to use these out on the job sites or in on the production floor, the types of environments, and, you know, they drop them and they, you know, throw them in the car or the truck or whatever, you know, the potential damage we could be doing to that battery, that cell, right? So just think about that. Let me know what you think. What tips do you have? What experiences have you had with these devices, good, bad, or otherwise? Let me know. Head over to the Safety Pro Podcast community site. The link is in the show notes. Consider becoming a member of the Safety Pro community. We're having various discussions over there. I post all kinds of information. And if you become a premium member, you'll get access to all of the training videos, downloads, and be able to participate in the back and forth discussion on various posts and even participate in live chats that are coming soon. And I will talk to you on the next Safety Pro podcast.